So anyway, whoever it was wanted to know how husbands ought to treat their wives. And I figured, well, I can answer that in one sentence any way you want to. They belong to you. How should wives treat husbands? Who knows? They're so unpredictable. Now, on the serious side, the Bible does have a lot to say about husbands and wives and relationships. And of course, the Bible puts a great deal of emphasis on proper role identification in the Bible. Without any question, the man is the head of the house. And the man takes a wife, and a man has a family. With that privilege comes an awesome responsibility. Not only does God put the duty of a man to take care of his family and his wife, He makes him responsible for their welfare and their health. You know, he has the privilege. He's the head. He's the boss. He's in charge. But when you have privilege, you also have responsibility. Then the Bible has a great deal to say, and of course, like Proverbs chapter 31 and places like that, where it shows the conduct of a wife in the married relationship, and it shows her industry and how she works and labors with her hands. And the consensus of the Word of God is that a marriage is just what the Word says. It's a merging. And they two shall be one flesh. And each person in the partnership brings certain gifts and attributes and abilities to the table. And just as surely as a man is incomplete without his wife, a woman is incomplete without a husband. And God's idea of marriage is for one man to marry one woman and for them to stay married till death do us part. Between the marriage ceremony and death do we part is rough ground. It's always amazed me that, and of course, I know God knows what He's doing, and there's a reason for it. And I know some of the reason. I don't know it all, but I know some of the reason. But it always amazed me that God would take two such dissimilar creatures and join them together. Men ain't nothing like women. And women ain't nothing like men. Now, above and beyond the obvious physical differences, and anybody in his right mind, now, no homosexual ain't going to get this, but right-minded people can see a very discernible, very distinct difference between the male and the female. And it's so blatant and so obvious that the two are compatible physically that you'd have to be a lunatic to think that two men go together or two women go together. See? But beyond those physical differences, we're different every other way you can think of. We don't think alike. We don't have the same emotions. We don't like the same things. Boys and girls left to themselves will play with different toys. They ran some experiments a few years ago where they took little boys and they raised them in a totally feminine environment. They isolated them from anything and everything masculine and only let them play around little girls and only gave them little girls' toys and dressed them in little girl clothes. And they would give a little dolly to a 3- or 4-year-old little girl and she would nurture it. They wouldn't know how to feed it. They wouldn't know how to change it. You know what the boys did? They ripped the legs off. We were coming down from Gatlinburg yesterday, and I went by they've got this go-kart thing here that's about 4 stories high, and them carts go around it and around it. And I looked out there, and everybody in the go-karts was boys. Now, why is that? You think they didn't bring any little girls to Gatlinburg? There are plenty of little girls up there. But go-kart's just not their thing. Now, you may find a little girl that'll ride one every now and then, but she'll ride it once and she's through with it. Not them dumb boys. They'll go around and around in circles all day long. Tell me you're not, we don't think different, see? They're just fundamental psychological as well as physiological difference between the sexes. And then God said, they twain shall be one flesh. You ain't married no time at all. Do you figure out? This is going to be rough. Anybody figure it out when you got married? Some of y'all lying like a dog. Some of you men are afraid to raise your hand because you're afraid your wife will take a skillet to your head. Now let's face it. You wasn't married very long. You licked the red off of that sucker and then reality set in. And you found out that girl you married don't think like a boy. And her priorities are not like yours. When you're thinking about fishing poles, shotguns, bows and arrows, or football games, or whatever it was, she was thinking about new curtains, drapes, carpet, washing machine, and babies. Amen? I mean, we are radically different. And then God stuck us together and said, "May twain shall be one flesh." Well, I'm here to tell you, son, it takes about 30 or 40 years to mend the merge. Somebody say amen. Dr. Ruttman said one time, he said, when you see a couple where they kind of look alike and they think alike and they never argue and they just get along and they can communicate with a glance, he said, that's about 40 years of iron against iron. There's a lot of truth in that. Now, the question was, or the subject was, how should husbands treat wives and how should wives treat husbands? I don't have a single verse for that, but I have some verses. If you'll open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 5, the key to a successful marriage is love. It's love. Now, that's love that has respect. That's love that has honor. That's love that has trust. It's a special kind of love, but it's obtainable. It's doable. God commands it. In Proverbs chapter 5, the Bible said in verse 1, "My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding." It's a daddy talking to a boy and saying, "Listen, I got some wisdom here. I'm going to share something with you. What will help you down the road? That thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge." Boy, if there's anything our generation is missing, it's discretion. We just blast into everything. We don't give it any thought. We don't worry about outcome or consequences. If we want it, that's the only criteria that's important. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. That is, all them babes standing on the sideline always look good. I don't care who you are, you can always go someplace and find a woman that looks good. A woman can always go someplace and find a man that looks good. Amen? Now, when you got married, you thought the one you're with looked good. When you were dating and courting, the one you're with excited you. Well, you thought he was Prince Charming. You thought she was Cinderella. Now, what happened to that? Now, it's the stranger. You go down to the office or the workplace or wherever it's at, and every other woman turns your head. Every other man is the hunk. Well, you better learn to be satisfied at home. And remember this, there's always somebody around that looks good. If you ever start looking, sooner or later something will come by that you'll look at you can't leave alone. Best thing is do is don't look. Amen. People say, "Well, I like to look. It's harmless." It's never harmless. That's like people think there's innocent flirting. There's no such thing as innocent flirting. If you're married, you ain't got no business flirting. Now, if you're single, help yourself. Go for it. Provided the one you're flirting with is single. Amen. Verse 4, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Stay away from loose women. Let me tell you something. A woman that would flirt with you and carry on with you knowing that you're married, you ought to know right now she's got no character. Amen? I mean, if she's single and she knew you were married and she'll flirt and carry on, that woman will cheat on, she'll ruin your marriage, she'll ruin the next one. Amen? What you need to do is, that's a sure sign of no character, no integrity. Amen? And if you're married and you flirt, what you need to do is mark it down. You got a serious problem. You need to get satisfied at home and be content with the wife or the husband you got. There ain't no reason, if you've got a mate, for you to have to be carrying on with somebody else. There's something wrong right here in your head. Amen? You let something sneak in there and cause you to be dissatisfied with what you have at home. Well, what you fixing to get ain't going to be no better. Matter of fact, it's probably going to be worse because it obviously doesn't have any character. Somebody say amen. Where was I at? 10. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth and the labors and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. Now, I've got a note beside that verse. That's called lawyer's fees. I see, here's a married fella, and he gets to eyeing the single women or some other woman, and he messes around, and pretty soon all his money's in somebody else's house. Because he just spent a few $1,000s getting a divorce to marry this old sleazebag. Amen? Amen. A lot of folks would have a lot more money. Listen, it's hard to keep up one family. It's almost impossible to support two. And you start paying $1,000, $1,500 a month child support and all, you wish you'd have stayed where you was at and let that other one alone. Amen? But I love her. No. You're just angry and bitter and dissatisfied and stupid. Somebody say amen. Okay, amen. Where's I at? And that thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. And say, how have I hated instruction in my heart and despised reproof? See, somebody, when people have those affairs and run around and this, that, and the other, somebody always tries to talk them out of it. Somebody always counsels them that they're going to get hurt or somebody's, and then morons do it anyway. They do it anyway. I don't know how many people I've talked to over the years, and I've never had one listen to me. The only people that have ever listened to me when I give them counsel are those handful of people where I counsel them to do what they already wanted to do. Every time I advise anybody to do anything contrary to what they've already made up their mind to do, they never take my advice. It always comes out bad. I gave good advice. They just wouldn't take it because it's not what they wanted to hear. And say, how have I hated instruction in my heart, despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me? Just can't listen. Show me a man wise in his own conceit. There's more hope for a fool than for him. I was almost in all evil and missed the congregation and the assembly. Drink waters out of thine own. Now here's, he's going to admonish the son for faithfulness in his own marriage. And in his own relationship. Drink waters out of thine own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the street. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Marriage is supposed to be monogamous. One man, one woman, till death do us part. God's against all that philandering, all that messing around. And now, the world's got the idea especially down south, we got this really bad double standard down here. Old-timey southern men always thought it was okay for dad to mess around. But it's always been wicked as hell for a woman to cheat. It's always been that way down south. Boys and girls, it's wicked as hell for either one of them to cheat. Amen. Amen. And if I catch mine cheating, y'all can some see me in jail. Because I'm going to shoot him and her. Amen. And I'm going to try that old-timey defense. Momentary insanity. I just snapped. Something came over me. I couldn't help myself. No, I don't even remember reloading. No, sir, I don't. Rejoice with the wife. Now, let's think about that for a minute. Rejoice. Rejoice. That's rejoicing is always connected with happiness, merriment, fun, pleasure, right? I mean, you don't rejoice when you're sad, mad, or angry. Rejoice is a good thing. And it said, rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Them folks have been married a while. They're not young anymore. But they're still rejoicing. Now, that's the way marriage is supposed to be. And if God says do that, it can be done. My wife and I, we go in restaurants, and I always, I'm an observer. I look at all kinds of things. Now, my wife said, did you see that? And I said, no. Did you see that? And I said, no. That's because I get certain things on my mind, and that's all I really look for. I just blip everything. I miss everything else. But everything I'm interested in, I don't miss it. And I look at it, and I look at it, and I look at it, and I observe it time and time again until I get that thing fixed in my head. I know how it works. I get the principle of it established right here. And then I move on to something else. I don't look for that anymore. I don't need to. I got that one figured out. Amen? What was I talking about? Yeah, watching. You know what I've noticed? You see folks all the time. They come in. They sit down. Matter of fact, it starts in a parking lot. They pull in and they park. He gets out, closes the door, puts the keys in his pocket, and walks off. She gets out, closes the door, fixes her skirt, gets her purse, and she walks behind him. He's 15, 20 feet in front of her. You'd think they were all Oriental. He not only doesn't open the door for her and show her that courtesy and give honor unto the weaker vessel, he doesn't take the time to walk with her. If you saw them come in through the front door rather than getting out of the car, you wouldn't know they were together. Then they come in and they get a table and they go and sit down and and drink their Pepsi or whatever it is, waiting for their meal. And the salad comes and they chow down on that. And then finally the main course comes and they eat that. And they get up and pay the bill and they ain't open their mouth. I see it all the time. They haven't said one cotton-picking word. It's gotten so bad. I've watched it for so long. We were eating breakfast the other morning, and there was a couple at a little table right beside us. We were at the Apple House restaurant up in Sevierville, having those little apple fritters and that homemade apple butter and those little apple julep thingies. And had my sweetheart sitting there. And there was a couple right here. And he was gray-headed. She was gray-headed. She's getting a little chunky, and he was just getting a little ugly. And I didn't mean to, but I could kind of hear what they were saying. And, of course, I was watching them because they were chit-chatting and laughing and giggling. And the first thing I did is I checked both their hands, and neither one had a wedding band. And I listened to them, and it became apparent in just a little while they weren't married. And they were having fun. And they were talking. And he was acting interested in her. And she was just eating the attention up. And you turn right around and you watch people who've been married 25 or 30 years and they're not laughing. And they're not kidding. And they're not joking. And from the look on their face, they can't remember ever having fun. What a tragedy. It's so bad, you go out some, and you can almost tell which ones are married and which ones aren't by the way they behave. That's my mission in life, is to fool them. I want to make them think we're just dating. Amen. Rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Your relationship doesn't have to die. The fun doesn't have to go out of marriage. Now listen, that premarital excitement and expectancy, that mystery that you have before you come together as husband and wife, you can't sustain that forever. You can't do that. It's like when you first get saved. You remember how excited you were? And then after you've been saved a while, it's normal to be saved. And it's good and it's pleasant and you love it, but you're not floating 6 or 8 inches off the ground anymore. You've got your feet back on the ground. And that's the way marriage is. You can't maintain that euphoria. You can't maintain that mystery when you've delved into every secret. So to try and do that is a false expectation, that you're trying to pull something off that just can't be done. But just because you can't maintain that mystery, that mystique that you had before or just after you got married, doesn't mean that marriage is bad or boring. Or that she's not fun anymore, or he's not exciting anymore. After you've become husband and wife and established a relationship, then you build on that and you look for different things out of the experience. I'm not looking to see a 20-year-old body anymore. I'm not looking for that wedding night excitement anymore. That's long gone. But you know what I have now? I have consistency and faithfulness. I know and I am known, so I have peace, I have comfort. See, to know and to be familiar doesn't have to be a good thing. It can be a very good thing. You can rejoice when you've been married 50 years as much or more than when you've been married 5 minutes. But it depends on your attitude and the way you go about it and what you're looking for. And if you have unrealistic expectations, you will end up dissatisfied, thinking grass is greener on the other side. Now, Brother Danny Castle used to say the grass is always greener on the other side because the other side is over the septic tank. Amen. Usually when the grass is greener on the other side, there's something dirty about it. Rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her... I love this. If I wasn't a pastor of a local church, I'd be a motivational speaker for husbands and wives. I do retreats. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. Now that word ravish, we pass rejoice. We way past there. This is light years from there. It said, be thou ravished. Look that up in your 1828 sometime. I guess a modern day equivalent would be, oh my goodness. To be ravished is to be excited. It's more than excited. It's like agitated. To be ravished, it means it's like being consumed with. It's to have your heart, your mind, your soul fixed on your spouse. To be ravished, it's where she captures and captivates my imagination and my emotions. The Bible said, be thou ravished. Man, you're not supposed to get to that place where it's just another night. Get into a routine. Tuesdays and Fridays. That's not it. You ought to stay in love. You ought to stay exciting. Your relationship ought to be exciting. So how do you do that? Well, you court each other. Didn't you do that before you got married? I used to get my little red MG and clean that thing up and spit shine it, put on my best Bermuda shorts and T-shirt, and go over and knock on that door over there on Ridge Road in Fort Mill. Pick up my, and I go over there, man, and she'd have on some real nice outfit, and she'd be all squeaky clean, her little hairdo done, boy. And I'd say, where do you want to go? I don't care, wherever you want to go. I said, well, how about so-and-so? That's fine with me. Yeah. I still open and close the door. I mean, for the car, for the house, for the restaurant. My wife, she never opens the door. She'll just stand there. If I forget, she just stand there. They'd be pouring down rain. She'd just stand there. If I don't open the door, she ain't moving. But I kind of like it. And I forget what I was talking about. I'm just kind of rambling. Cause I didn't have a text anyway, so I can do that. Yeah. And we go over to Stevens Grill on Cherry Road. That was right up from Park Inn Grill. And we were so nice to each other and so polite. Amen. And then you get married. Then you get familiar. Somebody said familiarity breeds contempt. And then we started treating each other badly. And we let little things that our friends can do and we'll overlook it, but let our mate do it, boy, and we'll blow our top. Amen. You let your wife slip up and forget to do something or spill something, and you can just blow up like a hydrogen bomb. If your friends were over and they did, it's okay. I'll get that. Don't worry about it. It's okay. If we treated our mates as good as we do our friends, we wouldn't have many fusses and fights. Amen. When you get married, you got to take an attitude. I'm gonna make this thing work. Somebody said one time, marriage is a wonderful institution. And his buddy said, yeah, but who the hell wants to live their life in an institution? I don't. I want to live my life in bliss. I like that commandment, be thou ravished. I don't have much problem with that, man. Hey, man, you guys marry a girl, be thou ravished. Girls, be thou excited. You want somebody to pursue you and to love you and care about you and all that stuff? Encourage your husband. 9/10 of marriage is attitude. You think I couldn't find faults with my wife? I could, but I'm not gonna. Does she do things I don't particularly fear? Yeah, she's got little idiosyncrasies. Just like I do, just like you do. Could I major on those and we could fuss and fight? Sure. Would it accomplish anything? No. Would it make me happy? No. Am I going to do it? No. Why? Because I want to get along. I want to be happy. I remember when we first got married, some little thing would come up and we'd get in a big fight and stay mad all weekend. And I thought one day, you know, this is just plain stupid. This is plain stupid. I had the whole weekend, and I huffed and puffed and wanted to blow the house in and accomplished nothing, didn't help me and didn't change her. What was the point? Honest truth is, I just learned to live some things I couldn't change. I'll bet you if you're happily married, you have too. Brother Lewis, you look like, you act like, I take it you are a reasonably honest man. You had to ever learn to just live with some things you couldn't change. You couldn't change your wife's mind, her way of doing things. You couldn't get her to see it your way. I mean, she's just blockheaded about it. Is it worth ruining your life over? Is it worth being mad and tore up all the time? Is it worth having tension in the house? Well, give it up, Mike. How should husbands treat wives? How should wives treat husbands? You ought to treat them like you love them. You ought to treat them like you care about them. You ought to treat them like they're a friend. You ought to treat them like you want to be treated. You like being snapped at and snarled at? You like being talked down to? Now, you can do a lot of things to me, but I'll tell you what you can't do. You can't talk down to me. Just don't do that. I'm not an idiot. I'm not a dumb bunny. And you're not going to stand up there and talk down like I'm stupid. That ain't going to happen. Amen? Amen. Then why in the world would I talk to my wife like that? Ladies, why would you talk to your husband like he's too dumb to get in out of the rain? Most of the things that we do that destroy marriage are in and of themselves little things. But the cumulative effect is we destroy ourselves. We gender hard feelings. We gender anger. We gender resentment. And then we wonder why the marriage fell apart. Was it because we didn't love each other or because we chose the wrong person? No, it's because we didn't choose to get along with the other person. You know, they say that 95% of the people who divorce and get remarried marry somebody just like the one they just got rid of. You know why that is? Because 9 times out of 10, you married the first time what you like. And if you have a chance to do it over again, what you like hasn't changed, so you select the same thing. You just think there'll be a different result. Not if you don't go at it different. Amen? Marriage is as good as you make it, or as bad as you make it. You got to make up your mind, I got one life, I get one wife, I got one husband, I got one shot at it. I am not going to be miserable. I am not going to fuss and fight. I am not going to live with a stranger. I am not going to be miserable. I am not going to set a bad example. I am not going to do those things. I am going to talk and discuss and occasion compromise and sometimes even change something about myself. I want this thing to work. I want it to last. I want to go to the grave having been faithful to God and been a consistent preacher. I'd like to die in the pulpit and I want to go to my grave having been married to the same woman my entire life. I said, well, preacher, I can't do that. I've already divorced her. Okay. Start over again. I counseled one time with a girl, and she was in a family way. She was pregnant when I met her, and she had been a very loose young woman, been very, very immoral, very wicked, and she got saved. And a few months after that, I was talking to her, and she said, preacher, she said, I know that I was a wicked woman. Now, this is what she told me. She said, I know I was a wicked woman. She said, I slept with everybody that worked in this place where she worked, and it's a big place. She said, but after I got saved, I declared myself a spiritual virgin, and I'm keeping myself pure until I find a husband. I said, well, glory to God. That's good. Isn't that wonderful? Look down at that verse. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? Now the idea here is, what can you find someplace else you can't find at home? I de-dog double dare you. I just don't believe you can convince me that in a bunch of grapes, one grape is that much better than the other. You ever eat grapes? And after you taste the first one, every one of them tastes just alike, does it not? You ever eat a bunch of grapes and after you've had 10 or 12, say, oh, this is the best one in the bunch. This one is so much different. It doesn't work that way, does it? Let me tell you, men aren't that much different, and women aren't that much different. You're not going to find anything you didn't already have. That's an illusion. That's a trick of the devil. Amen? Amen. Don't be deceived. For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his doing. His iniquities shall take him himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. In the Bible, you're supposed to get married, stay faithful, build a relationship based on trust, and stay in love and infatuated with your mate. Now, I spent so much time going through that, I don't have time for these 20 points I have. But I'm going to give them to you, and then if you buy the tape, you can get the tape and listen to them and kind of get an idea. I have 10 stupid things men do to ruin their marriage. And I have 10 stupid things women do to ruin their marriage. So what are they? Well, here's 10 things men do. They become jealous jerks. Now, jealousy is the opposite of trust. I know a fellow that ruined his marriage because he didn't trust his wife. And he had no grounds for it. She was absolutely in love with that guy. But if she went out of the house, he checked the odometer to see how many miles she drove the car. He would call her 20 times a day to see where she was at. Man, how in the world can you live under that kind of suspicion and distrust? He was a jealous jerk. Then we have the non-talking turkeys. That's the guy that never talks to his wife, never communicates with her. He goes off to work and he talks to the boys on the job all day. And he comes home at night and he can't say a mumbling word to his wife. She hadn't been on the job all day. She wants somebody to talk to. She's had a house full of kids all day. She'd like somebody to give her some adult conversation. Isn't it amazing how you can find everything in the world to talk about with the guys on the job? You can't find anything to talk about with your wife? Well, she ain't into football and hunting and fishing. Well, then why don't you get into fixing up the house and this, that, and the other? I bet she'd listen to some of your nonsense if you'd listen to some of hers. Amen? All she wants is for you to act like you're interested in her. Just admit she's alive. Jealous jerks, non-talking turkey, lazy louts. That's the guy that when he comes home from work, he don't think he ought to do nothing. The wife does everything around the house. He don't fix nothing up. He don't repair anything. He don't cut the grass. I do my part. I go to work every day. I bust my backside 10 to 12 hours a day out there in the salt mine, you know. Yeah, well, there's some things around the house that need to be done, son. And there's some things your wife don't need to be doing. Amen. Not that she can't, not that she wouldn't. There's just some things that men ought to do. Amen. Now, I'm not going to give you my list of things women ought not to do because ain't nobody here going to agree with me. But it's my list anyway, and I'm sticking to it. Amen. Lazy louts. Then there are lingering lookers. I'm giving you things that ruin your marriage now. That's the guy that every time he goes out in public, he's with his wife, you know, she's walking over here or right back there. And everything that walks by, he's going. If there's anything I can't stand, if I was a woman and you go by those men that have that look like they're taking you apart, I would be tempted to just beat the devil out of them. That is so disrespectful. If I was a woman, it'd give me the creeps. I'd carry me a 45 automatic, son. But men say, well, it don't hurt nothing. I'm just looking. Well, hurt your wife's pride. You don't look at her like that. When she walks by, you don't go, ooh la la. Amen? Well, why not? I tell you what. I bet you some of them lingering lookers looked at the one you don't pay any attention to and went, I bet. Somebody say amen. Lingered. You better watch that nonsense. You wouldn't be half as dissatisfied with the one you got if you quit looking at everything else. Then they're control freaks. That's the guy that's got to be in charge of and dictate everything that goes on. He doesn't discuss with his wife and set general parameters on how they're going to do this, that, and the other. He's got to micromanage. She's got to do it his way, on his time clock. And if it doesn't get done when he wanted it or the way he wanted it, he takes the roof off the place. Listen, your wife is alive. She's human. God gave her a brain. She's a separate individual. She's not a robot. She's not a clone. You've got to give them room to think and be themselves and to express themselves. You'd be surprised sometimes. There's a lot of things they're smarter at than you are. And sometimes they see things you don't see. My wife says all the time, "You never listen to me." I always listen to her. And sometimes she's right. And sometimes I take her advice. But I have learned to conceal it so she doesn't know it. I'm hurrying. The control freaks. Then there are the dollar dolers. You don't ruin your marriage, gentlemen? Make your wife feel like a beggar. Make her have to come to you and grovel to get every dollar she gets.
You're the big man. You work. You make the living. You hand out the dollar here and the dollar there.
I don't know about you, son. I got pride. Amen? I'll tell you what. I worked for Kenneth B. Melton. Now, he's a big old boy. And I've worked for him for well over 20 years now. And he treats me good. But I work there. He don't own me. Amen? And if I had to go in and kiss up to get my check, he'd be looking for an employee. Because that ain't my nature. Amen? And I'm going to tell you something. If I made my wife do that, we'd have been split up a long time ago. She's got as much pride as I do. She's got as much self-respect as I do. And I bet your wife does too. You want to ruin your marriage? Just be a dollar doler. Make her have to suck up, or make her feel like she has to come for you for every little dime she spends. She said, "Well, I made it." Well, she made it too. And she probably earned more than you did putting up with you. And then there are whining wimps. If there's anything I can't stand, it's a man that's always whining. "I don't feel good. My back hurts. They work me so hard. If you just knew the stress I'm under." Oh, shut up, man. I had a guy a couple years ago. He just made me want to throw up. He said, "My wife just doesn't understand how stressful this job is." I said, "You're heat and air tech." "Well, you know, we go under houses, we go up on top of buildings, we work on that big equipment." He said, "It really stresses me." I said, "Son, you need a job driving a cab or something. If this job is stressing you, you're in bad shape." "Oh, it don't bother you." I said, "I'll be honest with you. I don't ever think about it. It's just the way life is." Amen? I worked on a flight deck from an aircraft carrier. I never got stressed up there either. I said, "Why? There wasn't nothing I could do about it." You just do what you got to do. Men running around whining about the stress and how hard it is. And give me a break, man. Shut up your whining. Be a man. Your wife, you know, half the girls in the country get themselves messed up because they into the bad boy syndrome. Do you know why girls like the bad boys? They feel safer with them. They mistake all that bravado for manhood. They find that exciting, and they take a certain sense of security in it. Your wife doesn't want some wimp, whining, crying, belly-aching little fella that is stressed out by his job and terrified by every Get over it. Whining wimps. Then there are sexual sickies. That's men who expect their wives to do things that are not right nor proper. Now, the Bible said that marriage is honorable and all the bed thereof undefiled. I believe that. The Bible teaches that. But it doesn't allow for perversion. It doesn't allow for injury. It doesn't allow for humiliation. You should never ask your partner to do something that makes them uncomfortable, physically or emotionally. Amen. You say, what are you doing? You're showing a little respect for the object of your love. Then you want to ruin your marriage? Be a workaholic. Go ahead. Work a full-time job. Work a part-time job. Never be at home. Never have time to take her out. Never have time to spend with her. Never have an evening at home alone. Never be... Because you're always working, 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 working. Listen. She's not in love with your stupid money. She was in love with you. Amen? Well, I got to work. If we're ever going to have this or that, then don't have this or that. She loved you before without it. She'll love you now without it. But she won't love your absence. Amen? Then, you want to ruin your marriage, gentlemen? Be a buddy bum. Aggravates me to death. Fella gets married, marries a pretty little old girl, sweet little old girl, has two or three young'uns. And all of a sudden, he wants to spend all of his time with his friends. I'm going over to Bill's house. Honey, Harry will be over after a while. They sit around, watch football, talk about fishing, tell dirty jokes and lie to each other and this, that, and the other. And they got to go down to this ball game and they're going to the racetrack for this. And mom and them young ones sitting at home. This guy's spending all of his time. Won't you marry them? Amen? Your life is sitting home dying for some of that attention. Your children sitting home dying for some of that attention. If you want to spend all your time with your buddies, you should have stayed single. Amen. Now, I'm not saying you can't go off with your buddies fishing every now and then, or a little hunting trip every now and then, or go play golf or whatever it is, but not all the time, son. How about equal share here? I mean, let's give some to mama. Let's give some to the children. Now, I have 10 things in 10 minutes on women. 10 stupid things women do that ruin their marriage. Number one. And I got this at number one because this is number one. And we call them domineering dollies. That's the woman that wants to run the house and run the man. And what she does is she runs it in the ground. Now, God made man to be the head of the house and not the woman. And the woman said, well, he's not smart enough and he ain't got no money sense and this, that, and the other. And men are different than ladies about those kind of things. But ladies, you better learn how to work your man. Because if you dominate, and if he senses that you're trying to dominate, that you're trying to rule, and you're trying to coerce him, he'll buck up. Let me tell you how you do a man. You can lead them. You can coax them. You can suggest. You can plant ideas and thoughts. But you can't tell him what to do. Every man that I ever knew that was a real man, the minute you tell him he can or he can't and make it emphatic, he'll bust hell wide open or do it. Amen? The man will either run it or ruin it. And so, ladies, if you married some fella, then you're twice as smart as he is, which you're probably not, but you think you are. You better be smart enough to know how to work it. Because if you don't, you'll ruin it. Amen?
Well, I'll tell you right now, there ain't no. I'll tell my husband what to do.
Go ahead. Help yourself. Be in that case. And we'll watch you get your divorce. Domineering dollies. Then there's jealous Jennies. And I'm not going to spend much time on that jealousy because it works the same way for women as it does for men. I had a little old fella at work here a while back. His girlfriend was calling 15 times a day, wanting to know where he was at. Said, he's on the job. Well, have him call me. I said, I ain't having him call nobody. I said, he's at work. Be home at 5 o'clock. Wait on him. I hung up. What nonsense. You know what? She's afraid. She thought he wasn't at the job. She thought he was out running around on her. And he might be. And if she treated me like that's what I'd be doing. I don't know whether he was or not, and I don't care. But she wasn't making things any better doing that nonsense. You already heard him back there cussing and swearing and carrying on about her embarrassing him, making a fool out of herself in front of the people he worked with. You know what her problem was? She was jealous. She was insecure. Well, that's not how you fix those kind of things. Not only do we have domineering Dollies and jealous Jennies, we have flirting Fridas. All of my married life, especially the last 35 years since we've been saved, my wife and I have openly discussed our feelings toward people in that regard. Because some people make you uncomfortable. There are some couples that we enjoy being around because it is so obvious that they are in love with each other and you can relax. And then you get around some couples where one or the other of them makes you uncomfortable. By the way they look, sometimes the things they say, or just their mannerisms, and you can't relax around them. I don't like that. When I find somebody like that, we just distance ourselves from them. Amen? So I'm going to keep my marriage intact if it's at all possible. And I don't want to be around some woman who's overly friendly. Women that like to spend more time with men than they do the ladies of the church. Nah. I could name a couple of church I know. There's a couple of ladies there that the ladies will be back there getting ready to have a dinner or something. And the men are out here shooting breeze. And you know what? Them two women are out here with the men. Now, if I was the pastor of that church, they either wouldn't be members because they'd be mad at me, or they'd be back in the kitchen with the women. But they would not be hanging out in the foyer in front of the church with the men every time there's a meeting. Nah. Ain't going to happen. Somebody say amen. There's something wrong there. See? Ladies, you need to give the appearance at least that you're absolutely infatuated with your man. And your eyes never need to wander. You don't need to spend time standing around talking to other men. Then there's lazy Lois. And of course, the same thing there, you know, it applies to the men. The men come in and they're lazy, they don't want to do anything. And that lazy Lois, though, I mean, she just lays around the house. She thinks that she's done all she's supposed to do and fulfilled all her marital requirements if she warms the bed. She's not required to cook. Certainly not required to clean. That's half of America. I want to go back and rework that point, I guess. but you understand what I'm saying? The guy goes to work in the morning and the house is a wreck, and he comes home in the evening just like he did when he left. Well, now, if you've got a wife that works and she's out of the house, you can understand some of that. And by the way, gentlemen, if your wife works, you are to help at home. It's not unmanly. Amen. Now, I've got a secret. Let me share this with you. I will help my wife do anything. When she was working, she's retired now, but when she worked, I offered to help do anything she needed done around the house. I just do it so poorly, she'd rather do it herself. Anyway, there's lazy Lois, then there's frigid Fran. You know one of the real reasons we get married? It's that personal, intimate relationship. Amen? And when you get to where you're tired all the time and you have a headache and you got an upset stomach and you don't feel like it, and after a while, he'll go someplace else. I'm not saying that to be mean or ugly. I'm just telling you historically how it works. You play that game, and that's a dangerous game. Now, if you want the Bible admonition, I'm going to go over and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 7. That Bible said, defraud you not one the other except it be with consent for a season that you might give yourself to prayer and fasting and come together again lest Satan tempt you for your incontinency. The husband hath not power over his own body but the wife, and the wife hath not power over her own body but the husband. Amen? Now that's certainly not all of a marriage. It's not even the most important part of a marriage, but it is certainly a vital part of marriage. And when you neglect that, you neglect him, you will ultimately ruin, destroy your marriage. Just mark it down. And maybe you don't care about it like he does. Well, women are different and it takes longer to crank their motor and all. I understand all that stuff, but it's a vital part of your marriage and you better work at making it work. Then there's the complaining Carla. You notice that these tend to parallel each other. Wasteful Wanda. That's the girl that just has no money sense. I mean, she never clipped a coupon in her life. She never bought a generic brand anywhere. She never comparison shops. She has no regard for how hard he had to work to make that dollar. Amen? Now, ladies, if you want him to work and bust his backside and make that dollar and bring it home, the least you can do is show some concern in how you spend it. Amen? Give him a little respect. Then there's money-hungry Molly. Molly, that's the old girl that she never wants him to quit. She wants him always to work because she wants this and she wants that and she wants this and she wants that. So we have soap opera Oprah. That's that old girl that just lays around on the couch all day watching that TV set and eating them bonbons. Don't comb her hair, don't brush her teeth. You know, I've been married 45 years, and except on those days when my wife is sick, she has a shower before I come home and she fixes her face and puts on her lipstick and eyeshadow and perfume. And when I come home every day, she is fresh. Every day, every day, every day. I kind of like that. I love to walk in the house and smell that fresh scent of Estee Lauder Youth Dew or White Diamonds or Obsession or Red Door or Pendos and Fat Back. Those kind of things. Men like that kind of stuff. They're not interested in you laying around on your lazy backside all day long while he's working. Amen? Then, last but not least, there's Mama's Matilda. A girl gets married, and she's supposed to leave Mom and Daddy behind, and she's become one flesh with her new husband. And she can't leave Mama alone. And she's got to talk to Mama about all their personal problems. And every time she gets mad at him, she's got to go talk to Mama about him. And Mama don't know whether to love him or hate him. You know, Mama's always going to side with her little sweet thing. You know what you do with your personal problems? You keep them personal. Don't share them with Mama. You don't share them with Daddy. You don't share them with the kids. You work it out between Mama and Daddy. And by the way, Mama and Daddy, if you've got personal problems, you don't let the kids in on it. They don't need to know it. You, Mom and Daddy want to have a fuss? Go someplace else and fuss. Wait till the kids are sound asleep and fuss. And none of that hollering and screaming and cussing and carrying on in front of the kids. They ought not to know Mom and Daddy don't always agree. Amen? But ladies, you certainly don't need to be going out and telling your mama every time your husband does something you disapprove of or disappoints you or you don't like, and you go running to Mama, whining and crying, Mama taking your side and making you feel good, and telling her poor little girl and how bad old, and how mean old so-and-so is to her. You ruin your marriage. Work your problems out. You say, well, you just don't know what we... Listen. I've been at this thing a long time. I doubt seriously if you and your husband got any problem I ain't dealt with 100 times. You ever think about this? There's just so many problems you can have as a human being. You only think you're unique. You're one of 6 billion clones. Amen? Your problem has occurred before. It is occurring now, and it will reoccur in the future. Get off your high horse. Marriage is a wonderful thing. I could sell marriage door to door. I could, boy. I could throw them vacuum cleaners down and promote marriage from house to house. It's the greatest thing God gave us this side of glory. You know what the Bible said about your wife, gentlemen? It said, this is thy portion under the sun. You know what the Bible said, ladies? Wives, love your husband. He's unlovable. Then work at it. Work at it. Make it last. Make it so that you can stay excited, so you can rejoice, so you can be ravished. I'm in my 60s, and I'm still excited about the woman I'm married to. I figure if the Lord is good, I've got another 20 years. I want to live it excited. I want to live it expectantly. I want to live it enjoying it. I want somebody to share my time with and my memories with and my aches and pains and stuff with. Amen? I've been married 45 years. I'm not going to quit working at it. I'm not going to take it for granted. I'm not going to say, well, I know her. I know her like a book. I know how she... You start doing that stuff and you're in trouble. Besides that, you're a fool if it's a woman. How should we treat each other? How should men treat their wives and how should wives treat their husband? Treat them like you love them. Treat them like they're your friend. Treat them like you respect them. Treat them like you got to live with them tomorrow. In Jesus' name.